And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexroad. Joe Rexroad here with Junie Riddle in again today for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic, and actually, well, first of all, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good since you brought us some Starbucks this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe came in
No
clutch.
Free ads. Don't tell them where. Just a local coffee place.
Oh.
Yeah, no free ads, man.
I'm sorry about that.
But it's okay. I mean, it's 6 o'clock and 40 seconds, so that's cool. And by the way, well, I guess since you've already named them, kudos to the folks there who did not screw up the order of the iced vanilla latte. Like, it's tough. It's been tough, man. It's been like I very slowly set it, made sure it was entered. I looked at on the screen. It was entered correctly. Vanilla iced latte. Skinny.
Shout out Rex.
Yeah,
and for always making sure.
I mean, like several times they've made. I don't even know what the heck they made. They make some. What the heck did they make? Sometime they like a
hot,
coconut.
Right?
Yeah, whatever. Hot. I don't know. So shout out to them for that. And also, Michelle, I need to ask because I didn't have time before the show. So you saw Air?
I did see it.
Okay, what's the review?
Loved it. Loved the movie. Funny, but. You know, it's something really interesting. So I saw the trailer for it, right, a couple weeks ago, and I like was like, we need to see it. And then I was looking at all the actors in it, right? It's a stacked cast. They've got a bunch of people in it. Damon, Affleck.
Affleck.
BFF. And I was like, who plays Michael? And he is not in the movie. They don't show his face. And then Ben Affleck, who also helped direct it, they said that nobody could play him. So the movie is more so about everybody who works at Nike and the parents. But like,
did you think it was a Michael Jordan movie?
No, I didn't think it was a Michael Jordan movie, but like, they don't show him at all. Like, he's in scenes and they just show the back of his head and his parents, but like, not his face or anything.
That's interesting.
Like, they did more to not have him be in it.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of – I kind of like that, though. I mean, that's kind of cool, you know?
I do, but I don't know. There were some parts where it's like
It'd be good to have him talk.
So was it about the development of
Jordan
shoes?
Yes.
And it didn't have a lot of Michael Jordan?
No, he was
it's
like –
It's about Phil Knight. It's about the Nike – Sonny Vaccaro, who, you know, yeah. Incredible person.
And David Falk, who was Michael Jordan's agent, I just realized went to Syracuse, and that's why there's a Fox Sports Business School.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, but I just think it was weird because there were scenes where he was in it and there was just essentially an extra actor and you would just see the back of his head. But then like it would pan over to the parents and they would talk.
It's almost like Peanuts or Charlie Brown cartoons where all of the adults, you know, like they aren't real characters. You know, they don't actually talk. They say wah, 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 right? Like seriously. Yes. But they're not actually part of it. I kind of like that. Okay. But I saw that like Rotten Tomatoes has Air like 100%. So
it was I really liked it.
And the audience score. I mean, you don't ever see that. It's always like Rotten Tomatoes is high and the audience score is low or vice versa. Like it's always controversial, but to see both have such high ratings makes this movie like a must see, especially if you're a shoes sports fan. Like everybody loves Air Jordans. Like when you were in school.
Yes, Joe.
When you were in school, Joe, did everybody like always try to get like the latest Jordans or like the
latest Converse.
Like, Nikes?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm so old. Like, I remember when the first Air Jordans came out. But see, if you're a Detroit Pistons fan, you're like, why do I want some Chicago Bulls dude's shoes? What? No. Now, obviously, they became a phenomenon, but yeah, I mean, they were popular, but it's not universal. I had other Nikes. There were other Nikes that you could have. Yeah, I had some Converse, sure, some ponies, some Pumas,
some ponies.
Yeah, man. Oh, ponies were big in the '80s. Yeah, look it up. Google ponies.
I gotta look this
up. In fact, I feel like pony. You know, Converse had some. You know, they had like Isaiah, Magic, and Bird.
Yes,
before,
the three
before Jordan, before Air Jordans came out. That was kind of like the first like. Was that dealt with at all in the movie?
Yeah, they talk about that. Okay. Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, because that's like kind of the first, you know, athlete, you know, like NBA shoe thing, but it was right before, probably about a couple years before Air Jordan.
Well,
right?
And the HBO series on Magic Johnson talks about how he signs with Converse and Phil Knight is in it, and Nike tries to get him. But I will say, I know you don't like Ben Affleck. He does a great job playing Phil Knight. Very crunchy, granola-y, runner guy. Very, I need to do my breathing yoga. He did a good job. It okay. was funny.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, look, I want to see the movie. I'm going to see it despite the fact that Ben Affleck plays a lead role in it. And I hope
it's more Matt Damon.
Okay. Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Okay, so I'm looking at these pony shoes right now.
Yeah, man.
And I can kind of visualize it with the whole 80s style, the 80s gig. Have you seen these, Michelle? You know what he's talking about?
Looking them up.
I mean, if you want to get into some stuff, Ruse. Anybody out there who's at my age, like Ruse, like kangaroos, like apostrophe Ruse, like Walter Payton had a Ruse endorsement. There were Ruse that were Walter Payton. Yeah. British Knights, BKs. I mean, we had a lot of good stuff in the 80s, man. Let's see. Yeah, pony shoes. There was a big, I want to say Eric Dickerson endorsed ponies. I think so. Cleats. Because actually in football, a lot of kids had pony cleats. So we are going just totally down the road. Yeah, let's see. Well, now wait a minute. Am I getting that mixed up because he was part of the Pony Express? I might be. Pony Express, blue custom stitch. I don't know. But anyway, anybody out there who remembers ponies, let me know. Pro Keds is another one. There were a lot of, like I had the first Nikes in probably 1982, and they were like low top with the light blue stripe. I don't know if they were the first Nike, but they were like Nikes in that year of 1982, like kids started to get into Nikes. And before that, it was like Adidas. And Adidas was around before Nike, Pro Keds, Converse, stuff like that. So, yeah, the blue, there were blue, and I think they were like pink striped Nikes. In 1982. So
now to touch on Michelle's comment about Magic Johnson, what was the price that he would have gotten if he would have signed with Nike back then? It was like hundreds of millions of dollars that he would have gained if he would have signed with Nike back in the day.
Well, if you're saying that must be because of stock options, right? Now, that wouldn't have been up front.
No.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about like it said in modern day today, like when the show was released, that if he would have signed with Nike at that moment in time and stuck with them, the amount of stock shares that they would have given him would have made him like almost a billionaire.
Of course he is.
I mean, he is
a billionaire anyway, but yes. like at least that's one of those stories where he's still a billionaire anyway, but yeah. No, there's other stories like that out too. The name is failing me, but there's a guy who also turned down the same sort of deal, ground floor stock options that would have been Spencer, I think Spencer Haywood lost a lot of money by not signing a shoe deal. So,
well,
I'm going to look that up.
It's funny because in the movie, they're like, we'll give you $250,000, 5 years guaranteed. And it's like, this is the most we're offering you. But I didn't realize that Michael Jordan was the first one to ever get a part of the revenue of the individual shoe.
Right.
Which became
standard.
I mean, now it is. I mean, they
change everything,
the game. So yeah. Pretty cool.
So Sonny Vaccaro, so that's Damon, right? Played him.
Correct.
So this is 2009. I did a huge series on cheating in college sports. So I spent hours talking to Sonny Vaccaro on the phone. Yeah, I mean, he's like a dude who's been around the game forever.
That's
and ever.
So cool, Joe.
Yeah, but also during those interviews, he told me, he's like, I want you – now, people don't know much about this. There's this lawsuit. It's called the O'Bannon lawsuit, okay? Like, this was, like, early stages of O'Bannon. He's like, this is going to change. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, I wrote a little bit about it, and then obviously that becomes NIL.
NIL,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Sonny Vaccaro has been – I mean, he's been on the cutting edge of all of this stuff, which I'm sure the movie lays out, right?
Yeah, it touches that.
So Spencer Haywood, 1973 – He had a choice, 10% of Nike or $100,000.
He took the
100. We all know. And look, I can't, right now you're just like, oh, you put your head like, oh, how could you? But I mean, first of all, $100,000 in 1973 is no joke. I mean, it's $100,000 is still no joke, but $100,000 in 1973 is money. And then 10% of like, oh, yeah, Nike. How do you say it? Nike? Yeah, I'll take the 100K. You can't blame him, but my gosh. How much money would Spencer Haywood have? I mean, a 10% of that company?
Unbelievable. It's the Air Jordan shoe itself revenues $4 billion a year.
Yeah.
Sorry, Spencer Haywood.
It's just crazy for a player that, you know, played in the 90s, and his heyday was, you know, nearly 30 years ago, and people still line up, like, at 5 a.m. in the morning at local Foot Lockers to go and just get the latest version of a shoe that's, you know, constantly being, like, reinvigorated.
Right. Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like a brand beyond, obviously, right, beyond whatever is happening. I mean, it's I mean, it's what, I don't know, what else would you compare it to? Tiffany, you know, or something. Like it's a brand that's going to, you know, going to continue. The text line, hey, I appreciate you all out there. Officer Watson from Clarksville. Heck yeah, ruse with a zipper pocket on the side. Yes. Yes, Officer Watson. They had a little zipper pocket. You could put like a quarter in there or, you know, a little whatever. I don't know. You put a little hair thing in there. Hey, a little zipper on the side, man. The ruse, the Walter Payton ruse.
Did you put your lunch money in there, Joe?
Oh, man. You know, I never had ruse. I never had ruse. I liked them. I never had them. Mark says, growing up in Houston, Hakeem Olajuwon rocked the Etonics. Dude, I totally forgot about Etonics shoes. Now, that is – now, you tell me, Mark, I believe that is a Converse type. Is that right? Because Hakeem Olajuwon was definitely a Converse guy. He had an endorsement. And Kristen says, I had a pair of Pony high tops in grade school, my absolute fave. Pony were – I like Puma a lot, too. So, and also the Vans. Vans are cool still. But, like, also in 1982, the checked white and black Vans. Dude, tough to beat. So, this segment, when we were supposed to talk about the Tennessee Titans, we did not. But that was fun. So, let's get into the Tennessee Titans next. Talk a little bit about this offseason and what we think of it so far. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. Junie Riddle in for Robbie today. Michelle Knezovic here talking. I mean, actually, I could spend the whole show. If you guys want to, like, just spend the whole show reminiscing about
80s, baby.
Shoes, I could. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see this. I'm going to see this tomorrow night. Remember, get in on the game phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We're here in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And I'd like to invite you to join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. I got to put this in the calendar. Put your team together. Come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities like Junie and Michelle to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. So, Tennessee Titans, I had an idea yesterday because, although, hold on, before I get to this, I just, everybody who wanted to weigh in on the shoes, I want to make sure that you are heard. I want you to be seen and heard today. Zach from Nashville said the pump-ups. I assume you mean the Reebok pumps. See, even this is like this is one of these things that I would expect both of you to remember, but, like, still you would. But, like, D. Brown, dunk contest, he pumped up, you know, he like, Reebok pumps were a thing. I had a pair of Reebok.
Okay. We actually used those for cheerleading. The, like, high-top Reeboks, and they had the Velcro on the top.
And did they have, like, the actual pump where you, like, yeah. Which, I mean, it really doesn't do anything. It's just cool. But anyway, yes, D. Brown reached down, pumped up his pumps, and went and won the dunk contest in, like, I don't know, 1990? Something like that. 91? He did the, I think D. Brown did the, he did the cover his eyes and jump and dunk with the Reebok pump. So thank you. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, all of you who have weighed in. And now I kind of feel bad that I never had ruse with the zippers. But Tennessee Titans, one idea I had yesterday, guys, I won Jared versus Joe. Congratulations. Thank you, Caroline, for being an honest judge. You know, Chase McCabe tried to jump in and say he wanted to, like, review the judging. I mean, first of all, if we're going to do that, man, I got a few others that we need to, you know,
there needs to be a panel.
Under your inspection.
Like a jury.
Someone on the text line yesterday, and I know Mark was on the text line celebrating another win, but someone on the text line had a good point. It's like, what about voting? You could do voting. You know?
Yeah, like put a poll up.
You could do that, right? But I guess it's kind of like – it's hard to do that in the moment though, right?
Yeah.
You could always do it for like 30 minutes after the segment, you know, right as soon as it's over, post it, and then Jared has to announce it at the very end. Like, here's what the poll says. I mean, it's not like he can – you know, misconstrue what's live to everybody and everybody can see.
Well, Jared could. You never know. But, it's an idea. But regardless, it was a win, and Jared did have a good idea within that win. Jared, who I call Agent 31 now, I guess it was Caroline's idea, grading the Titans offseason so far, which is interesting because, first of all, yeah, obviously it's incomplete right now, but you do have midterm grades. And so I thought that it might be fun to talk about that because Jared gives the Titans a D for what they've done so far.
Hmm.
I went C because, and my reasoning is, I think I'm not surprised by anything they've done. I think what they've done is fine. We'll see if it works out. But I, in general, like the idea of, one, not spending a ton of money right now. Because, look, like they're just, I mean, it just really was kind of a bad free agent crop, really. I mean, certainly at receiver, but even across the board, I feel like it was an underwhelming class. Like next year, there's going to, I think there's some names that, you know, I mean, like nobody who was of high interest was really a fit for the Titans anyway, I don't think. So I'm fine with what they've done. We'll see if it works out. We'll see if, you know, Alshire and Brunskill and Dillard turn out to be starting quality players. You know, Jared basically thinks, well, they're backups, so they're backups. That's what they are, you know. But I'd like to know what you think.
So I'm kind of in the same realm as you. I would give it more of like a C, maybe a C+, because what they've done this offseason has kind of shown to me that they have a good perspective on where they are. They understand that this is a transitional point. 2021 was really their go-for-it year. Last year was kind of, you know, the writing on the wall showing that, you know, maybe this team and these players that are constantly getting hurt aren't going to take you to the promised land of where you want to be. So they're kind of hitting the retool, the reset button right now. And the fact that they're not paying these guys a lot of money, you know, there's not a lot of risk. And there could be a high reward if, you know, one of these guys turns out to be a good player, you know. Every player needs an opportunity to be able to prove themselves to play at this level. These players that they've signed have the upside. They have the potential. They got them on short-term deals. If they work out, great. They'll sign them again and probably get them for, you know, cheap, and you got a quality player there. But if they're bad, they're easily cuttable. Easily, you can move off of them, and then you know what positions of need that you truly have. So I think where the Titans are right now, especially with the, you know, the quarterback situation of, you know, how long is Tannehill going to be here? You know, when is that next run going to be? When are they going to go get that rookie quarterback? Knowing that these guys aren't signed for the long term and they didn't take a huge risk on some of these underwhelming free agents like you mentioned, show me that, hey, they're doing what they need to do to set themselves up for when they do have the opportunity to go on a run, that they can shape their roster up to do so.
Yeah. And look, we just don't know. You know, we don't know. Like, these choices could be. And look, when the Titans signed Bud Dupree, I mean, I liked it. I wanted him to sign Matthew Judon at the time. I thought he would be the better fit. But, you know, Bud Dupree, okay. Made sense. It was a huge deal. Big money. Guy who would, you know, as you know, had done very well at Pittsburgh. So that turns out to be, you know, a bad signing. We know now that it is. But at the time, like, that's cause for a good grade for me. But what we didn't know, or I didn't know, I liked it a lot. I thought it was the best value of that offseason. But Danico Autry is an A++ signing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's – so what do these choices end up being? It's like, look, the draft's going to happen in a month or in 3 weeks, and everyone's going to have their grades, and it means nothing. I mean, you have no idea. I liked Isaiah Wilson when they – oh, yeah, that makes sense. Great. No clue what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But based on what we know, I don't condemn these choices as – I think that the – first of all, I mean, Rand Carthon knows a lot of these guys. I mean, even Arden Key was there for a year, so he had, you know, up-close dealings with him. I mean, that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me to go with what you know. And also, when you have players that are on rosters like that, that have been built so well that you can have starting quality players as backups, that to me makes it easier to believe that they could be starters, right? So, okay, so we're right in that range, you know, middling, fine, you know, nothing too exciting, but it could work out. Like you said, I mean, it makes sense. What would the Titans have to do to get I feel like there's a certain level of, I don't want to say like apathy, I think that's too strong, but a little bit of resignation about what this team will be. Which I don't think – I suppose you could probably start the clock on that with the day they trade A.J. Brown, although some people would talk themselves into that being a good idea. But did you like that? You liked that trade, didn't you?
At the time, I did.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad I remember that.
Well,
called you out for
it. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the A.J. Brown situation is the Titans had the opportunity – to trade A.J. Brown and then go rebuild a position of need, because going into this season, and Michelle can back me up on this, I said from day one, summertime, before training camp and all, I was like, this team's offensive line is going to be its weakness. It's the number one issue with this team. And what the Titans did was they, you know, traded with Philadelphia, they went up to 18, and they took a receiver, which I was never high on, in Treylon Burks.
What if they hadn't done that? Well, how bad would they be at receiver now?
They could. I understand that, but they definitely could have got an offensive lineman.
Right, but what you do though is you don't trade A.J. Brown.
That's
he's under contract. I don't want to get mad about this all over again.
No, and I mean, listen, in retrospect, I wouldn't have traded A.J. Brown. Obviously, like that's already been proven. It's a fact. It was a bad trade, but the Titans didn't do themselves any service by the moves they went out and made. Automatically, once you trade A.J. Brown and then you go out and get Treylon Burks, where everybody's like, well, Treylon Burks now has to be A.J. Brown, which is such an unrealistic expectation to come in and play as well as he did as a second-round pick and just being a consistent 1,000-yard physical receiver that, you know, you can rely and go to win you games. Like, it's tough, but my thing is the Titans didn't do themselves any service because I felt like they went and picked the wrong guy. The trade wouldn't have been as bad if it didn't just fall flat on the Titans' face with Treylon Burks coming in out of shape, not being prepared, and being injured all year long and not having the production that Titans fans were hoping him to have.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, like, you can go through here and there, you can get your Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, but for the most part, like, you're just not going to. Yeah, it could have been a better outcome with him, but you're not going to replace him.
That's the thing. Vrabel is what is Vrabel talking about? He's saying, I want speed. I want my receiver to, be able to get open and make big plays. Well, Treylon Burks was never that guy. The biggest thing about him was his lack of explosiveness, his, you know, not very quick. In the open field, when you get him in space, yeah, like, he's lethal. He's a big-bodied guy. But he's not the guy that's going to create ultimate separation on a consistent basis to be that number one playmaking receiver. And that was the thing that I said about him when he was coming out. I thought there was multiple players that they could have gotten in the second round, because that's the sweet spot to go get a receiver, in my opinion, like how they went and got A.J. Brown in the second round in 2019. I mean, you're talking about Christian Watson with the Packers that had a great year. George Pickens. Those two guys, which had a lot more upside than a Treylon Burks for me, went in the second round, and they passed on him to go get a guy that I feel is a little bit limited with what he can do at the NFL level.
I mean, they did draft in the third round a guy who's probably going to be their starting offensive. So you would have had them pick who then? You said they should go for offensive line, so you would have had them pick who instead?
I believe the pick after them was Trevor Penning.
Penning, yep.
And I know he didn't have the best season this year. I think he dealt with injuries as well. So, you know, it might not have really mattered personally, but I just think trying to solidify the offensive line with that move and then worrying about receiver a little bit later would have been better. Like I said, and I said this yesterday on the show, trenches is the number one thing to win in football. And regardless if you have receivers or not, even if your receivers aren't as talented, if you have no offensive line to be able to protect and give the quarterback time, and especially if your receivers can't create separation, I mean, that's a catastrophe waiting to happen. And that's exactly what the Titans were last year. They had no time, and the receivers couldn't create initial separation.
Okay, so we'll ask this then. What can the Titans do right now? And I guess this could devolve into more quarterback drafting discussion, but to get fans, I guess, more excited about what they could be in 2023. We'll continue with that. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. I go to the text line, driven by WilsonHoneyHoney.com. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, 615-737-1025. Just want to make sure. I want all these voices heard. You know, and now I've lost the text because I'm really good at this. Hey, Joe, did you have the Slade Pro Ked that used to stain your socks when you get done? I kind of remember that. I didn't have it. I think I might have had Pro Keds like really, really young. But that's a great call. Also, spot belts. Someone asked me if I've ever had spot belts. I did not have spot belts, but that's another great classic shoe. And also, Chris says you guys have to get your priorities straight going to watch the Super Mario movie.
People were in full effect in the costumes and everything at the theater last night for Mario.
Is that right?
That is right.
Interesting. Okay.
Mario franchise is legendary.
No doubt. I mean, that's probably one of the best video games I've ever, like, as far as my playing.
100%.
The original one. Then you get into the other ones, and yeah, it's too much. But the original Mario, I knew all the little secrets, you know, the little secret passageways and stuff. Pretty awesome.
Well, see, I grew up with Mario Kart.
Yep.
And so like my local McDonald's, you know how they have the big play center? There was a little video game thing, and you could play Mario Kart for free on it. So, you know, run around, play in the little play gym. You tire yourself out, and you wrap up with a milkshake and some Mario Kart.
Nice. That's a nice little Saturday. Cam on the text line says, to be excited for 2023, the Titans should trade for D-Hop at the right price and draft O-line, wide receiver, tight end, first three picks. We need weapons. Yeah, Again, I talked about the trade thing. I don't know where things stand with Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, that's the guy I've looked at as a guy who I think still has something left. And maybe you could swing that without having to pay an exorbitant price. I'm just skeptical of D-Hop. As great as he's been, you know, when the injuries start kind of piling up and, you know, I mean, look, I wasn't skeptical. I thought Julio Jones had a lot more left. Was wrong. Maybe that's made me a little more jaded about D-Hop, but I'm skeptical of that one.
I still think D-Hop can play. I think he definitely still has a couple years, but number one, what would be the price to get him? And number two, I just don't think the price to get him based off of all the other teams that want him. The Titans are probably going to have to, you know, throw in a little more. And for me, I'm a proponent of this team drafting weapons. Like, go out and get your own weapons. Like, let's not be the Colts, but with the wide receiver position of always trying to go and find, you know, this washed up superstar. Because, you know, honestly, the Titans have gotten a rep with this with like Randy Moss as well in the past, Andre Johnson. It's like, how many guys do they have to go and get like in their 30s to realize like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be giving up future assets to go get a guy that's, you know, past his heyday. So, yeah, D-Hop, that would definitely make the excitement of the offseason go up. But in all reality, the give and take of it, I wouldn't go for that. Like, I'm with you. Mike Evans, that would be worth it. But would he actually want to come here in the current situation? That's the question. Like, does a veteran receiver want to come to Tennessee to you know, play with this roster and the uncertainty at the quarterback position?
You get traded, man.
I mean, that's true. But, you know, I just think I don't know. I'm not a big proponent of the trade. You can get good quality wide receivers, you know, on the second day of the draft. And I think that's what Titans fans are missing out. They went out and they spent a first round pick on a receiver, you know, showed some upside when he did play this year, but, you know, the jury's still out on him and what he's going to be. Is he going to be a true number one? Will he be more of a number two? We don't know. But I think that they should, you know, more focus on, you know, rebuilding, getting these guys young and on the cheap rather than paying, you know, almost $20 million for a 30-year-old wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Now, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, it's a different situation because he was in his prime, but they've been trying to draft receivers, and then they said, you know what, I know he can play. Let's go get him. And
it's different. You know, A.J. Brown's a young guy.
Yes, well, I'm just saying, you know, the if you can trade for someone who has that much left, even if you have to then pay a big deal, it's worth it. I mean, it's a huge part of why they almost won the whole thing last year, right? There's a lot of elements to that.
But you also, but then again, look at the Eagles. The Eagles went out and they beefed up their roster. You know, they were dealing with a bunch of injuries last year. The year before that, Carson Wentz's going out party, and they were trash. They were not good in 20. In 21, you know, they barely snuck into the playoffs there. They knew they had a good roster, but, I mean, you had guys like Lane Johnson, their star-studded right tackle that was out for the majority of the year prior. So they didn't have all their studs. They have a really good free agent year. They really beef up that roster. They, you know, put a lot of belief in Jalen Hurts, in his second year as a starter.
Yeah, a lot of factors. Great roster.
But the Titans aren't in that situation.
No, I know. I'm just using that as an example of, like, trading for a receiver can be good. Now, it's hard to find the receiver in their prime like that. I mean, you know, a lot of teams around the league thought Deebo Samuel was going to be also available. The Niners did what the Titans should have done, hung with it, and he's still there. Devontae Adams, you know, is another example. I mean, Tyreek Hill, that worked out pretty well for the Dolphins, right? Trading for Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, trading for a known commodity can be good. But I'm with you. I mean, the Titans need to – they have to draft. I think a tight end is not discussed enough in terms of importance. I mean, they have to draft another tight end, like, who can be a starting quality tight end, you know? JD says, I hate to agree with Joe. Why, JD? Why do you hate to agree with me? But I'd rather have Mike Evans. Yeah, like Mike Evans. Yeah, Mike Evans would be good. Would a trade, Cam says, would a trade has 11 going to Tampa Bay for 19 and Evans work? I don't think Tampa Bay's – I mean, is Tampa Bay going to move him just to move up eight spots?
There'd probably need to be
another sweetener in there. It wouldn't necessarily have to be anything major. Could you do that and a fourth or something like that, you know?
So, yeah.
The Titans don't have a fourth this year, Julio Jones. Third, maybe, you know, something like that. Is that worth it? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, is that worth it? Because they do need to build a lot. You need to draft a lot of players. They have to have a good core of young talent on rookie deals that they have not been able to get with recent drafts because they've made too many bad choices. So if you're giving up draft capital and you bring him in, what does that mean to your team this year? What does Mike Evans on this team this year mean?
It's tough to say. I definitely think it makes a difference. It's going to slide Treylon Burks into that number two. And I see Treylon Burks, if he's healthy, as a really, really good, talented number two, you know. When the focal point of the defense isn't on you, especially as a young guy, and you have a veteran in there, who is also kind of a bigger, taller, not the fastest wide receiver, I mean, I feel like that would be a great get for the Titans if they were somehow to go and get a Mike Evans. Because, like you said, I think he's only missed a handful of games throughout his entire career. He's a 1,000-yard receiver every single season. And, you know, if this offensive line, you know, were to somehow kind of shape form and really prove that, you know, they can be kind of middle of the pack rather than one of the worst units in the league, then you're talking about a pretty solid reboot on this offense going into this year.
I think people are – like, this is where – are people trolling me with this stuff? Herb from McEwen says, hire T.O. Hire T.O.? I don't know about that, but trade the first-round pick. Titans can't pick in the first round for – and you almost said a bad word, Herb. also, LD says they have the rep of not knowing how to draft a reliable wide receiver outside of Brown, who's the last wide receiver to make an impact at the Titans. Guys, this is a GM who's been here a couple months. Like, whatever the Titans have done in the past, like, it doesn't – I mean, now look, there is some carryover because Vrabel still obviously is involved, has been involved in personnel decisions, will be, of course, moving forward. But – it is still a new GM. Like, whatever the Titans struggled to do in 2003 does not matter now. It's just like the whole, like, oh, Ohio State quarterbacks. Okay, when John Cooper was – what? Who cares? Like it's a different coach. I mean, even when Jim Tressel – like, right now, Ryan Day – I bet you Ryan Day keeps churning out good NFL quarterbacks because Ryan Day is a good quarterback developer, right? All right, Zach from
Nashville. Rachel takes his job.
Well, that's true. Yeah, maybe they can just swap. I think Ryan Day would be a good NFL head coach. Zach from Nashville, here's your excitement factor. Draft Smith and Jigba at 11, Darnell Washington in the second. Fill the rest with offensive position. Will Darnell Washington be there?
With the second round pick?
The 40? I think
he could be potentially, for sure.
That guy would be – I can't wait to watch that guy in the NFL. Okay, also, trade for Lamar Jackson, make it official post-June 1st, and trade away Tannehill to Tampa with a post-June 1st destination for Mike Evans. Prosper. Well, there you go, Zach. Zach has the plan. My goodness. I think that's it. I think you got it. There would be excitement about all of those moves.
I don't even want to get into the Lamar Jackson discussion. Like, I think that would be probably the worst move that this team
could. You're just a Steelers fan who hates the Ravens.
Listen, I'm a diehard Louisville fan. Where Lamar Jackson was the first ever Heisman winner for Louisville. I was a big Lamar guy, but I'm being a realist. Every single year he's been in the league, his stats have gotten worse. Every single year. Outside of his rookie year where he, you know, only played half the season, when he had his MVP season, his stats have gone down every single year, and he hasn't even been able to finish the last two seasons when his team has had an opportunity to make some noise in the playoffs.
If you look at the analytics of their offensive performance with him and without him last year, year before, off the charts.
Off the charts difference.
Now, the injuries are – that's a different deal.
What about the playoffs, Joe? What about the playoffs?
No, I mean, he came in here and, you know,
that was beat this team. Yeah, and that was his best playoff performance, to which that offense put up 20 points, and he's never put up more than 20 points in a playoff game.
Yeah.
He was awful against the Chargers. He was awful against the Titans.
No, there you go. You're wrong. He was not the Titans stopped them on 4th and 1 twice.
Who had the ball?
They got a tipped pick.
Had the ball?
Well, sure. They tackled a great job by the Titans. They had a tipped pick that Byard picked off. He threw for like 400 yards in that game. He was not awful in that game.
I know, but he had like 3 turnovers as well.
The Titan, well.
2 picks and a fumble.
I don't remember the second pick.
And he failed on, I think, a couple 4th down conversions.
Right. Like I said, they stopped him on 4th down. Great job by the Titans defense. Lamar Jackson was not terrible or awful in that game at all, by any measure. They were behind. He had to throw all night. He threw it all over the yard. Anyway, we'll get back into this Titans. There's a lot of thoughts on this at the top of the hour. But coming up next on Robbie and Rex Road, best and worst in sports. And it is best and worst in sports. You know, sometimes we come into a segment – and I hear the music, and I'm like, I know that music. I know what the segment is. And then in my mind, it's like, and now Robbie will start to talk and take us in. And I'll sit here and just blah, blah, blah whenever Robbie tells me to talk. And I'm just not used to mic one. But here we are, best and worst in sports. I think it's weird also being on mic one that I would start. So you know what? I'm going to go last.
I'll start. June. Yeah. I know you're the guest, but ladies first.
No, you're fine. I was the guest yesterday, and now I'm, you know, overstaying my welcome. So.
Yeah, you're the dude on the couch now. Yeah. In the
okay.
Pro Keds.
So my best in sports, and it's actually something that we haven't even touched on yet. So the Masters will officially begin today, and 19-year-old on the Vanderbilt golf team, Gordon Sargent, will be playing in the Masters Day. He got a special invitation. This hasn't happened since 2000. He's one of the top golfers in the world, amateur golfers in the world right now. So I just thought that was a really cool story that we haven't heard about. You know, we talk about the Masters all the time, and there is a 19-year-old from Vanderbilt on their golf team who is playing in it today. So he tees off at 11:48 Central Time. So if anybody wants to support any local young golfer, pretty cool to see him performing on such a big stage like that. So that's my best in sports. My worst in sports, and we've touched on this a little bit throughout the week, is everyone freaking out over Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Oh, was that your worst?
No, I just mentioned to Joe in the break. I was like, "Is all of our, you know, worst in sports going to be about Angel Reese?" And he's like, "You know, I mean, you know."
Usually, Joe and I have the exact same best and worst, but my worst in sports is that. But because I'm feeling super positive and just in a really good mood today, I urge people who, you know, see that or people try to bring up a conversation surrounding that, I urge you to turn the conversation to what is great coming out of the women's basketball tournament, and that is, you know, the incredible TV numbers, the 9.9 million viewers on a game that wasn't even in prime time, you know, the ticket sales for the tournament itself, Caitlin Clark breaking a historic record, scoring record in the tournament, you know, Angel Reese having 30 34 or 36 double-doubles. Kim Mulkey winning her fourth national championship. So I urge people, those are the stories, and we're seeing finally that the investment in women's college basketball is there. And I do think that with the exclusive Big Ten contract with Fox, NBC, and CBS, right? They're just not on ESPN next year. They will have, I believe, they will have a Iowa women's basketball game on big time Fox next year, a regular season game, as they should, they because, should. You know, we've seen the investment. We've seen what Caitlin Clark can help bring to the game. So it's just, it's amazing for the sport. You know, the argument for so long was, well, there's no audience. Well, proven that there is an audience for this sport if the opportunity is granted. So that is my worst, but also twisting it into a best.
Very good. No, I'm with you. They should jump on this. They should do like a big preseason event, like, you know, like men's basketball has figured out the Champions Classic.
Yeah.
Like they should do something like that and have Iowa, ooh, have LSU.
LSU, Iowa, you know? South Carolina.
Sure.
Louisville.
They should jump on that.
I would do anything to be able to watch a rematch of Iowa, LSU. I think that would, you know, break the ratings over again based off this drama. Like, and like you say, we can talk about the negative aspects of, you know, the criticism of Angel Reese, but, you know, this kind of reminds me of like wrestling. You know, when you have a villain, it like makes the controversy, it makes the games more interesting. So you can take some positives out of the criticism because controversy makes the sport itself more entertaining and more popular as well. So there's also good stuff. But I'm going to go with my best in sports. And I want to talk about the pitch clock in the MLB. Listen, when it comes to the regular season in baseball, I just could not watch it in the past. I mean, the games were so slow. I mean, they would be 3 and 4 hours long, super low scoring. It was just like watching paint dry for me. And I couldn't get into it. But, you know, starting to watch some games this year and the pitch clock and there's more scoring and games are flying by, like it makes the product so much better to watch. And especially for me as a Pirates fan, you know, we don't have the best bullpen, and you know, we don't have the best pitchers out there, but our hitting is pretty good, and we, you know, we start jumped out of the gates 4-2 and looking pretty good. So I am enjoying the pitch clock in baseball. I just think it's better for just about everybody, you know, watching and viewing wise. In my worst in sports, I'm going to kind of go on the same path as Michelle, but in a different way. Jill Biden asking the Iowa Hawkeyes to come to the White House with LSU to have both teams represented. Listen, I am a big proponent of not giving out participation trophies. Like, I hate that. If you win, you should reap the benefits, and if you lose, that should motivate you to want to be the winner. And I think that that's how sports should be. And the fact that Jill Biden tried to invite the loser of the national championship, Angel Reese, yeah, absolutely not. She shut that down. She put Jill Biden in her place. Listen, the winners go to the White House. LSU should be rewarded. They were the best team this year. They cut down the nets. They should be the only team to go to the White House.
Yeah, that was goofy. Jared from Spring Hill is with you on that. And by the way, this segment reminds me why I need to go first every time, because you guys have left me about 40 seconds. But I'll go real fast, and this is something I wrote about this week. This is something that I continue – I mean, I think the comments on my column were right around 200 now, and I continue to go back and forth with people, and it's going to be a best and a worst together. Best, the Preds, all the people who took part in Pride Night. You know, it was previously scheduled. It was going to always happen this week, but I think it was really important this time. I mean, after the awful tragedy at Covenant, the fact that anybody would want to take that and try to target an entire community of people and draw them into it somehow because one person killed those people is awful, and it's already a community that has been marginalized and tried to push to the corners of society pretty much for the entirety of human existence. So kudos to the Preds for having a great Pride Night, the jerseys, for the players for wearing, all of them wearing the jerseys. To me, it's just about, I mean, I know some people get mad about, well, why are you singling out this player who didn't? Well, I don't think it's asking that much to just say, hey, you are a person who counts. You belong in society. Thanks. Come to watch a hockey game. I don't think you're asking that much. The worst is the flip side of that. I mean, you know, again, I'm going to spend all day continuing to go back and forth with people in the comments to conflate this, to try to blame a community of people for an awful, awful thing that happened is – just it's awful and it's dangerous and it's been bad for this community. So I just would ask people to be able to separate that. We all feel awful. It is gutting what happened at Covenant, and it's one person. And we've had a lot of these shootings, and we've had at this point all kinds of different people killing all kinds of different people. And you cannot try to turn that into this entire group of people is this or that. And it's been depressing, but I appreciate the Preds for doing what they did. And I appreciate that, frankly, there's a lot more positivity in response to this than negativity. And sometimes you have to keep that in perspective.
I think we just got to look at this situation plain and simple as, you know, there are bad people in every group of people, and there are good people in all groups of people. So don't judge somebody based off of, you know, who they are, but by the content of their character. And I think that's number one. You know, you should look at somebody by who they are, not, you know, necessarily, you know, what they believe and what they, you know, try to represent. So good people are good people. Treat people with respect and, you know, just the rule of everything. You know, our moms always said growing up, treat people how you want to be treated. Don't disrespect somebody, you know, based off of who they are. If they're a good person, they're a good person.
And when we come back, we will get back into the Titans. Still some thoughts on what they can do in this offseason to get people excited. But first, I do want to point this out, if I can do this quickly as I try to go through my email and out now. It is pausing. This has become a great segment. Oh, my gosh. This is unbelievable. You know what? I was going to say something. Well, we have tickets to give away. Should I put that out there right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We're going to have tickets. We're going to do it right now, this break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So this is the All-American Rejects. This is Municipal Auditorium, August 25th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. But right now, caller
3
at 615-737-1025. And we'll be back. Robbie and Rex are...